الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، we can reading this evening a brief treatise seeking the help and the aid and blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A brief treatise by Sheikh Suleiman Ar-Ruhayli حفظه الله تعالى، which initially was a muhadara, a lecture that he had given, and what is apparent between Maghrib and Isha, and then it was transcribed and made into this brief book form. It's been entitled Asbab Sa'adat al-Usra, Asbab Sa'adat al-Usra, the means for happy family, and for the family to achieve happiness, for the family to achieve happiness. So we read over this weekend, inshallah, today, which right now is after Maghrib, and also in the morning after Al-Fajr and Al-Maghrib, and as well on Yawm Al-Ahad after Fajr and Al-Maghrib, inshallah. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make the knowledge a benefit for us, and a light for us, and a proof for us, and not against us. So we read briefly. There's an introduction that we take. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمد عبده ورسوله. All praise, thanks is due to Allah. We praise Him, seek His help, and ask for His forgiveness. We seek refuge in Allah from the evil of our souls and from the evil of our deeds. Whomsoever Allah guides, none can misguide him. And whomsoever He leaves astray, none can guide him. I bear witness that there is none worthy of worship but Allah alone, without any partners. I bear witness that Muhammad is His servant and messenger. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. All you who believe, fear Allah. Fear Allah, meaning by doing all that He has ordered, and by abstaining from all that which He has forbidden, hoping for His reward and fearing His punishment, subhanahu wa ta'ala, based upon light and knowledge. Be feared. Any meaning, obey Him and be thankful. Remember Him always. Do not disobey Him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And do not die except in the state of Islam, any meaning while you are Muslims, with complete submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ya ayyuhan nas, ittaqu rabbakum, alladhi khalaqakum min nafsin wahidah, wa khalaqa minha zawjaha, wa batha minhuma rijalan kathiran wa nisa'a, wa ittaqu Allah alladhi tasa'aluna bihi wal arham, inna Allah kana alaykum raqiba. O mankind, be dutiful to your Lord, if you're Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and uphold your duty to Him, Tabaraka wa ta'ala, who created you from a single person, meaning from Adam. And from Adam, He created his wife, Hawa. And from them both, He created many men and women. And fear Allah, through whom you demand your mutual rights. Do not cut the relations of the wombs, meaning of kinship, the ties of relatives. And surely Allah is ever and all watcher over you. And surely Allah is ever and all watcher over you. يا أيها الذين آمنوا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد, all you who believe, keep your duty to Allah and fear Him, and seek all and speak always the truth, and you say a word that is direct and truthful and honest, He will direct you. Meaning, if you do that, He will direct you to do righteous good deeds and will forgive you your sins. And whosoever obeys Allah and His Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he has indeed achieved a great achievement. He has indeed achieved a great achievement, meaning that he will be saved from the hellfire. He will be admitted into paradise. He will obtain the pleasure of Allah and His mercy. The Shaykh, he mentioned, and as to what follows, to proceed, فَإِنَّ أَحْسَنَ الْحَدِيثِ كِتَابُ اللَّهِ وَخَيْرُ الْهَدِي هَدْيُ مُحَمَّدٍ sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وشر الأمور محدثاتها وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. Indeed, the best speech is the book of Allah, and the best guidance is the guidance of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The worst of all matters are those newly introduced into the religion. For every newly introduced to fear, and the religion is an innovation, and every innovation is misguidance, and every misguidance is in the hellfire. ثم أيها الإخوة الفضلاء هل علمتم لماذا اجتمعنا اليوم في هذا المكان المبارك وعلى أي أمر اجتمعنا؟ إننا اجتمعنا في بيت من بيوت الله نتعرض لرحمات الله رجاء أن نكون بفضل ربنا من الفائزين وللأجور الكريمة التي رتبها على الاجتماع في بيت من بيوته من الحائزين. He said, حفظه الله. Then, O noble brothers, do you know why we have gathered here today in this blessed place? And for what matter we have gathered? We have gathered in one of the houses of Allah, exposing ourselves to the mercy of Allah, hoping by the bounty of our Lord to be among the successful and to be among those who attain a great reward, who obtain the great rewards He has promised for such gatherings. He has promised for such gatherings. So this is the reason, and he is mentioning here why they gathered. They need to study the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the divine revelation and the law and legislation that has been finalized with the coming of the last Prophet, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which is the same reason why we have gathered. Alhamdulillah. We ask Allah to accept from us. So he says, يقول الله عز وجل في بيوت أذن الله أن ترفع ويذكر فيها اسمه يسبح له فيها بالغدو والآصال رجال رجال لا تلهيهم تجارة ولا بيع عن ذكر الله وإقام الصلاة وإيتاء الزكاة يخافون يوما تتقلب فيه القلوب والأبصار ليجزيهم الله أحسن ما عملوا ويزيدهم من فضله والله يرزق من يشاء بغير حساب. Allah the Most High, He says, the meaning of which is, and in houses. In houses meaning masajid, which Allah has ordered to be raised, meaning to be cleaned and to be honored, to be built and to be established. In them His name is glorified in the mornings and in the evenings, in the mornings and in the afternoons or in the evenings. Men whom neither trade nor sell diverts them from the remembrance of Allah. Men whom neither trade nor sell diverts them from the remembrance of Allah, nor from performing a salah, nor from giving a zakat. They fear a day when the hearts and the eyes will be overturned, meaning from the horror of the torment of the day of resurrection, is that Allah may reward them according to the best of their deeds and add even more for them out of His grace. And Allah provides without measure to whom He wills. And Allah provides without measure to whom He wills. Allah, He mentioned here, fi buyutin adhina Allah, in houses that Allah has ordered and allowed that they should be raised, they should be established, they should be built, and they should be kept clean, and they should be honored. And they should be honored. Yuthkaru fiha ismuhu. His name is mentioned and praised in those houses. Bilguduwi wal asal. In the mornings and in the evenings. In the mornings and in the evenings. Who are in those houses and who are praising Him in the morning and the evenings? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He mentioned rijal. Rijal. Men. Men. There are men that establish the masajid. It is men that establish the masajid and honor the masajid. And they often frequent the masajid, establishing the obligatory salah. Those who are familiar with this particular verse in the Book of Allah, they know at the top of the page is the word rijal. The very top of the page is the word rijal. The first verse here, verse number 36, is at the end of the page. On the very next page at the top, rijal. The first thing you see, رجال لا تلهيهم تجارة ولا بيع عن ذكر الله وإقام الصلاة. شيخنا الشيخ عبد الرزاق بن عبد المحسن حفظهم الله تعالى, he mentioned about this verse many times, that this verse here is the verse clarifying manhood, المراجل والرجولة الحقة. True manhood lies in establishing the obligatory prayers in the masajid and establishing any of the rights of al-Islam in the houses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, particularly those obligatory prayers in congregation. This is where true manhood lies, and upholding the rights of Islam and abiding by the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in creed and belief and application indeed. An application indeed. So the Shaykh is going to comment now on these noble verses from Surah An-Nur. هذه الآية فيها تمدح عجيب. هذه الآية فيها تمدح عجيب ووعد كريم في بيوت هي بيوت الله أضيفت إلى الله تشريفا وما أحسن يا عبد الله أن تجلس في بيت يضاف إلى الله. من الذي أضافه؟ من الذي أضافه؟ أضافه الله إليه. These verses contain amazing praise and noble promises in houses. Allah, he mentioned in this verse, في بيوتٍ. في بيوتٍ, in houses. These are the houses of Allah, which are attributed to Allah as an honor. In these houses, they're the houses of Allah. They're ascribed to Allah. They're ascribed to Allah. يعني إضافة التشريف والتكريم, meaning that this is an honor of those houses, that they're ascribed to Allah, يعني meaning that they have great honor and high status and rank. He says, what a great honor, O slave of Allah, that you sit in a house ascribed to Allah. That you sit in a house ascribed to Allah. Who ascribed it? Allah himself, he did. Allah himself, he did. وَلَوْ لَمْ يَأْذَنْ لَنَا اللَّهُ أَنْ نُسَمِّيَهُ بَيْتَ اللَّهِ مَا سَمَّيْنَاهُ فَأَذِنَ اللَّهُ لَنَا تَشْرِيفًا أَنْ نُسَمِّيَ هَذِهِ الْمَسَاجِدَ بِيُوتَ اللَّهِ ثم آذن لنا أن ترفع ونذكر فيها اسمه وأن نسبح له فيها بالغدو والأصال. Had he not permitted, had he not permitted us to call it houses of Allah, we would not have called them so. He permitted out of honor that we may raise it and remember his name, and remember his name therein and glorify him in the mornings and the evenings. It is Allah who ascribed the masajid to him, and he said that they're the houses of Allah. And had Allah not ascribed them to him, so we would not ascribe them to him. This is something that requires evidence to ascribe something to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this manner. So it is Allah who ascribed the masajid to him, calling them his houses. And this is out of honor for those houses. And also in turn, out of honor for those who frequent those houses and maintain them and uphold the rights of al-Islam therein. And uphold the rights of al-Islam therein. So Allah, he's the one who allowed us to build them and to ascribe them to him and to call them the houses of Allah, to praise him and glorify him in them in the mornings and in the evening. Then he says, وَتَمَدَّحَ أُولَٰئِكَ الرِّجَالِ بِأَنَّهُمْ لَا تُوَلْهِيهِمْ تِجَارَةٌ وَلَا بَيْعٌ عَنْ ذِكْرِهِ فِذَا سَمِعُوا ذِكْرَ اللَّهِ أَتَوْهُمْ مُسَارِعِينَ مُنْشَرِحِينَ مُقْبِلِينَ يقدمون ذلك على الدنيا لأنهم علموا علم اليقين أن الآخرة خير من الأولى أن الآخرة خير من الأولى فلم يؤثروا الدنيا على الآخرة وإنما اغتنموا الوقت بأمر يمدح الله عز وجل فاعلي. And he praised those men who are not distracted by trade or sale from his remembrance. This is from the beautiful praiseworthy traits of the true man, that the worldly life is glitter and adornment, trade and commerce, and seeking prosperity, and the delights of this life do not distract them, do not deter them from their remembrance of Allah. Whether they will seek after that which they seek after from that which is permissible from the worldly life, and they will do that upon their remembrance of Allah. And they will do that in the limits of Allah. And from the greatest remembrance of Allah Azza wa Jalla is to remember his limits, to remember him subhanahu wa ta'ala, and his generosity and his kindness and his authority and command, and to remember the meeting and the promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to remember his limits, and to abide by them and uphold them in the land. And to abide by them and uphold them in the land, hoping for the promise of Allah and his mercy, and fearing the threat of Allah and his punishment. This is from the great remembrance. So these people here, these men here, the true men, this worldly life does not deter them from the remembrance of Allah. Rather, they remember Allah from the worldly life. They look around them, and they see his signs, tabaraka wa ta'ala, in their own self, in their own eyes, in their own family, and the creation and the environment around them, in the night and the day. All of these affairs in this worldly life remind them of the greatness of Allah and his majesty, and that there's nothing worthy of worship except for him. So the dunya does not preoccupy them, and they do not become overwhelmed with this worldly life, and they're not attached to it. Rather, they use this worldly life to achieve that which is in their heart and that which they love and that which they desire. That is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, seeking his pleasure. So again, وَتَمَدَّحَ أُولَٰئِكَ الرِّجَالِ بِأَنَّهُمْ لَا تُوِلْهِيهِمْ تِجَارَةٌ وَلَا بَيْعٌ عَنْ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ. And he praised those men who are not distracted by trade nor sale from his remembrance. From his remembrance. فِي دَسَمِعُوا ذِكْرَ اللَّهِ أَتَوْهُ مُسَارِعِينَ مُنْشِرِينَ مُقْبِلِينَ. And whenever they hear the remembrance of Allah, they come to us swiftly, cheerfully, and attentively. Swiftly, cheerfully, and attentively. يُقَدِّمُونَ ذَلِكَ عَلَى الدُّنْيَا. And they show preference to this over the worldly life. Over the worldly life. Why? لأنهم علموا علم اليقين أن الآخرة خير من الأولى. And this is because they have certain knowledge that the hereafter is better than this life, that the hereafter is better than this first life. فَلَمْ يُؤْثِرُ الدُّنْيَا عَلَى الْآخِرَةِ So therefore they did not prefer this worldly life over the hereafter. وَإِنَّمَا اغْتَنَمُوا الْوَقْتَ بِأَمْرٍ يَمْدَحُ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ فَائِدِهِ But instead they made use of their time, benefiting from their time and that which Allah, the Mighty and Majestic, praises those who do it. And they're involved in things that are beneficial for them in this life and the hereafter, that is praiseworthy with Allah Azza wa Jal. He says, حَفِظُهُ اللَّهُ مَا الَّذِي هَدَاهُمْ إِلَى هَذَا الْأَمْرِ What is it that has guided them to this path? لَهُمْ قُلُوبٌ حَيَّةٌ يَخَافُونَ يَوْمًا تَتَقَلَّبُ فِيهِ الْقُلُوبُ وَالْأَبْصَارِ He said that they have hearts that are alive. They have living hearts. This is the means helping them to achieve this status that's praiseworthy with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They have hearts that are alive. لَهُمْ قُلُوبٌ حَيَّةٌ Living hearts, hearts that are alive with the remembrance of Allah and His love. Tabaraka wa ta'ala. They fear a day in which the hearts and the eyes will be overturned. مَا الَّذِي قَلَّبَهَا إِنَّهُ يَوْمٌ تَرَى النَّاسَ فِيهِ سُكَارًا يَتَمَايَلُونَ وَمَا هُمْ بِسُكَارًا مَا الَّذِي جَعَلَهُمْ يَتَمَايَلُونَ السُّكْر وَلَكِنَّهُمْ رَأَوْا عَذَابَ اللَّهِ وَعَذَابُ اللَّهِ شَدِيدٌ فَأَخَافَهُمْ تَتَقَلَّبُ فِيهِ الْقُلُوبُ وَالْأَبْصَارُ He says, what is causing their hearts to overturn? What is causing this overturning? It is the day on which the people will appear intoxicated. It is a day on which the people will appear intoxicated, staggering, not due to drunkenness, but because they have seen the punishment of Allah. And indeed, the punishment of Allah is severe. This fear made their hearts tremble and their eyes turn. Their eyes turn. So it says, فَمَاذَا وَعَدَهُمُ اللَّهُ What did Allah, He promised these men and these people, these individuals here, these praiseworthy traits that are not preoccupied with the dunya, did not sell their deen in the hereafter for a miserly price, for a miserly portion of this worldly life. لِيَجَزِيَهُمْ اللَّهُ أَحْسَنَ مَا عَمِلُوا وَيَزِيدَهُمْ مِنْ فَضْلِهِ وَاللَّهُ يَرْزُقُ مَنْ يَشَاءُ بِغَيْرِ حِسَابٍ He says, يَرْزُقُ مَنْ يَشَاءُ مِنَ الْأَعْمَالِ الصَّالِحَةِ فَهَذَا الَّذِي فَعَلُهُ مِنْ رِزْقِ اللَّهِ مِنْ فَضْلِ اللَّهِ وَيَرْزُقُهُمْ رِزْقًا يَسْعَدُونَ بِهِ So what did Allah promise them? Allah, He says, that Allah may reward them according to the best of their deeds and add even more for them out of His grace. And Allah provides without measure to whom He wills. The Shaykh is mentioning a point here, how the verse closes. يَرْزُقُ مَنْ يَشَاءُ بِغَيْرِ حِسَابٍ And He provides whom He wills without measure. What does this mean here? Provides whom He wills of righteous deeds. Allah, He provides whom He wills of righteous deeds. What they did was by the provision and grace of Allah. The fact that they established the houses of Allah and they praise Him and glorify Him in the morning and the evening, establishing the obligatory prayers and congregation, and they're not preoccupied by their worldly life, and the dunya does not distract them from the remembrance of Allah, from His commandments and establishing His deen. This is because Allah provided that for them. It was from the grace and the mercy of Allah that Allah provided them guidance and light and gave them success to believe and made that belief strong and beneficial until they apply what that belief requires and necessitates and upheld the rights of Allah Azza wa Jalla in public and in private. So He provides whom He wills, meaning of righteous deeds. So from the provision of Allah Azza wa Jalla, the provision of Iman, the provision of Iman and the ability to believe and to see the truth and to go straight and to prefer the hereafter over this worldly life. This is all from the great provision and the great blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What they did was by the provision and grace of Allah, that He provides them with a sustenance that makes them truly happy. Provides them with a sustenance that makes them truly happy. He says, لِأَنَّ النَّبِيَّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ يَقُولُ مَنْ كَانَتِ الْآخِرَةُ هَمَّهُ جَمَعَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ أَمْرًا وَجَعَلَ غِنَاهُ فِي قَلْبِهِ وَأَتَتْهُ الدُّنْيَا وَهِيَ رَاغِمَةٌ And this is because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, whoever makes the hereafter his main concern, Allah will gather his affairs, place his richness and contentment in his heart, and the world will come to him in submission. And the worldly life will come to him easily in submission. فَمَنْ جَعَلَ الْآخِرَةَ هَمَّهُ وَمُسْتَغَاهَ جَمَعَ اللَّهُ لَهُ قَلْبَهُ فَلَيْسَ لَهُ أُمُورٌ مُتَشَعِبَةٌ لَا يَرْتَحُ بِهَا وَجَعَلَ غِنَاهُ فِي قَلْبِهِ فَهُوَ يَشْعُرُ بِأَنَّهُ غَنِيٌّ فَلَا يَسْخَى وَمَعَ ذَلِكَ أَتَتْهُ الدُّنْيَا وَهِيَ رَاغِمَةٌ وَهَذَا مِنْ فَضْلِ اللَّهِ عز وجل.
So whoever makes the hereafter his main concern and ultimate goal, Allah will unify his heart. And he won't be by scattered distractions that bring no rest. Allah will place his richness and contentment in his heart, so he feels content and not miserable. And not miserable. Allah will place his richness and true wealth and value in his heart, so he feels contentment and not miserable. On top of all of that, the reward will come to him submissively and facilitating. This is from the bounty of Allah, the Mighty and Majestic. Nas'al Allah al-Kareem min fadlihi. We ask Allah, the most generous and kind, from his bounty. He says, Hafidhullah, wa yaqulu an-nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mubashiran wa hathan ummatahu wa majtama'a qawmun fi baytin min buyuti Allah yatluna kitab Allah wa yatadarasunahu baynahum illa nazalat alayhim as-sakinah wa ghashiyatuhum ar-rahmah wa haffatuhum al-mala'ika wa dhakarahum Allah fi man 'indah. The Shaykh says, ma adhama min fadl, ma adhamahu min fadl. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he gives glad tidings and encouragement to his ummah, saying, no people gather in one of the houses, from the houses of Allah, reciting the book of Allah and studying it amongst themselves, except that tranquility descends upon them, mercy covers them, and angels surround them, and Allah mentions them to those who are with him, any of the near angels. And the Shaykh says, what a great virtue. What a great virtue. ويقول النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم من غدا إلى المسجد لا يريد إلا أن يتعلم خيرا ويعلمه كان له كأجر حاج تامة حجته. And the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم also said, whoever goes out to the masjid, not desiring anything except to learn some goodness or to teach, except to learn some goodness or to teach, has the reward of a pilgrim, the person making hajj, whose hajj is complete. This is the reward for the one who sets out of his home, going to the masjid with the intention to seek knowledge and learn, or with the intention to teach knowledge and to benefit, that he will have the recompense and the reward of a person who made hajj and his hajj was complete. Any hajjun mabrur, the righteous and good hajj. So the Shaykh, he says, Allahu Akbar ya Abdullah, ajru hajjin tam, ajru hajjin tam. لا يحتاج إلى سفر ولا يحتاج إلى انقطاع أيام إنما هي نية صادقة وسعي صارح إلى بيت من بيوت الله ترجو به أن تعلم خيرا أو ترجو به أن تتعلم خيرا فكان ماذا كان لك كأجر حاج قد تم حجه والحج المبرور ليس له جزاء إلا الجنة. The Shaykh says, Allahu Akbar, slaves of Allah, a reward like that of a complete hajj, without needing travel or days of sacrifice, and without cutting off your time and changing your schedule, traveling days and life cycles. It is only a sincere intention. All you need to achieve this reward here is to have a sincere, true intention and a righteous effort to come to one of the houses of Allah, seeking to teach or to learn some good. What is the result of this beautiful, good intention and this effort to come to a house from the houses of Allah with this purpose? A reward like that of a pilgrim whose hajj is accepted. And the acceptance of hajj has no reward except for paradise. So it says, Hafidhullah, وَيَعَظُمُ شَأْنُ هَذَا الْإِجْتِمَاعِ إِذَا كَانَ بَيْنَ الصَّلَاتَيْنِ كَحَالِنَا أَلَيْلًا فَإِنَّ النَّبِيَّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ قَالَ إِذَا تَطَهَّرَ الرَّجُلُ ثُمَّ مَرَّ إِلَى الْمَسْجِدِ يَرْعَى الصَّلَاةَ يرعى الصلاة كتب له كاتبه أو كاتباه بكل خطوة يخطوها إلى المسجد 10 حسنات والقاعد يرعى الصلاة كالقانت ويكتب من المصلين من حين يخرج من بيته حتى يرجع. So the greatness of this gathering increases, referring to the benefits and the virtues of gathering in a house from the houses of Allah with the intention to learn and to benefit, and to benefit. And he's saying here now that the greatness of these gatherings increases when it happens to be between two prayers, just like our state tonight, and in very similar circumstances, whenever the author is giving the lecture, to the circumstances we find ourselves in now. So we hope for what they hoped for. So he says, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, if a man purifies himself and he walks to the masjid, watching for the prayer, one of the angels will write 10 good deeds. So one of his angels or two of them will write 10 good deeds for every step he takes to the masjid. And whoever sits waiting for the prayer is like the one who is engaged in prayer. And he'll be written among the worshippers from the time he leaves his house until he returns. The Shaykh says, مَا أَعْظَمَهُ مِنْ فَضْلٍ أَيُّهَا الْإِخْوَةِ إِذَا خَرَجَ الْإِنسَانُ مِنْ بَيْتِهِ وَقَدْ تَطَهَّرَ وَيُرِيدُ بَيْتَ اللَّهِ مِنْ أَجْلِ الصَّلَاةِ كُتِبَ لَهُ بِكُلِّ خُطْوَةٍ يَخْطُوهَا إِلَى الْمَسْجِدِ 10 حَسَنَاتٍ ثُمَّ مَاذَا وَالْقَائِدُ يَرْعَى الصَّلَاةَ أَيْ يَنْتَظِرُهَا كَالْقَانِتِ مَنْ هُوَ الْقَانِتُ هُوَ الْقَائِمُ الَّذِي يُصَلِّي الْقَائِمُ الَّذِي يُصَلِّي. What a tremendous virtue it is, oh brothers, when a person leaves his home in the state of purification, upon wudu, upon tahara, heading to the house of Allah, heading to the house of Allah with the intention of performing prayer, with the intention of establishing the salat. For every step he takes to the masjid, 10 good deeds are written for him. Then what else? And then what else? And the one who sits waiting for the prayer is like the qanit. It's like the qanit. And who is the qanit? The qanit, he is the one who is standing in prayer, engaged in devout worship. He's standing in prayer, engaged in devout worship. And devout worship. So this is the recompense and reward that we hope for in the likes of these gatherings. And like in the previous narration as well, that we will have tranquility and peace, and that we will be shrouded with mercy, that we will be surrounded by angels, that Allah will praise us, mention us in good amongst the angels that are high. So he says, فَأَنْتَ إِذَا جِئْتَ مِنْ بَيْتِكَ وَلَوْ فَكَرْتَ كَثِيرًا وجلست في المسجد تنتظر الصلاة فيكتب لك أجر المصلي والقائم الذي يصلي وتكتب من المصلين حتى ترجع فمدة بقائك في المسجد تكتب من المصلين تكتب من المصلين ولو كنت جالسا ما دمت تنتظر الصلاة حتى ترجع إلى بيتك فما أعظمه من أجر. So if you leave your house and sit in the masjid waiting for the prayer, it is written for you the reward of a praying person. You are counted among the worshippers from the moment you leave your house until you return. What a tremendous reward. What a tremendous reward. All of this is from the grace of Allah and the facilitation of achieving the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal. That if you do just a little bit of good, Allah will reward you with a great reward. Ash-Shakur, Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. Just a little bit of good. Coming to the masjid. Just come to the masjid. Pray the obligatory prayer. Sit for the next prayer. Listen to some good. The whole time you'll be written as a worship. The steps that you take will be a means to raise you in ranks. A means to remove sins and purify your soul. And to obtain the pleasure of your Lord. The pleasure of your Lord. All of this is an encouragement to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How it's facilitated and made easy. How it's facilitated and made easy to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I remember now a narration from Anas. It's collected by Imam Muslim. It's off the topic, but the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَيَرْضَ عَنِ الْعَبْدِ أَنْ يَأْكُلَ الْأَكْلَةَ فَيَحْمَدُهُ عَلَيْهَا وَيَشْرَبَ شَرْبَةَ فَيَحْمَدُهُ عَلَيْهَا. That indeed Allah, He's pleased with the slave. He's pleased with the slave if he eats a piece of food and he praises Allah for it. Or if he drinks a drink and he praises Allah for it. And Allah, He'll be pleased with you. If you eat the food of Allah that Allah provides for you, you drink the drink of Allah that Allah provides for you, and you remember that it's a favor and blessing of Allah, and you praise Him, you say, Alhamdulillah. Allah, He'll be pleased with you. Allah will be pleased with you. This is the greatest thing. What Allah mean, Allah Akbar. The greatest thing is to have the pleasure of Allah. And it's not difficult. And Allah, He didn't make it hard. But when he has to be sincere, and he has to focus, and he has to realize this life, it does not last. And the true life is the hereafter. It didn't start working. And then start working. As for the religion, it's made easy. Inna hadha ad-din yusr. Inna hadha ad-din yusr. So he says, وَيَقُولُ النَّبِي صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمْ صَلَاةٌ عَلَى إِثْلِ الصَّلَاةِ لَا لَغْوَ بَيْنَهُمَا كِتَابٌ فِي عِلِّيِّينَ كِتَابٌ فِي عِلِّيِّينَ فَإِذَا صَلَيْتَ فَرِيضَةً مِنْ فَرَائِضِ اللَّهِ ثُمَّ صَلَيْتَ أُخْتَهَا وَلَمْ تَلُغُ بَيْنَهُمَا لَمْ يَكُنْ مِنْكَ بَيْنَهُمَا حَدِيثٌ مَحَرَّ ما الفضل؟ كتاب في عليين، كتاب في عليين، وما أدراك يا عبد الله ما عليون، كتاب مرقوم، من الذي يشهده؟ من الذي يشهده؟ يشهده المقربون. He mentioned حفظه الله, and the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he said a prayer following another prayer, with no vain talk between them. It's recorded in عليين. It's recorded an aliyin, yani a person who comes to pray and he waits till the next prayer comes and he prays again. So if you pray one of the obligatory prayers of Allah, then you pray the next one, and you do not engage in vain or sinful speech in between, what is the reward? A record in aliyin. And what will make you know, O servant of Allah, what is the aliyin? What is the aliyun? A register inscribed. Who bears witness to it? To which bear witness those who are nearest, meaning the angels of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the Shaykh, he says, مَا أَعْظَمَهُ مِنْ فَضْلٍ. What a great virtue this is. وَالْفَضَائِلُ فِي مِثْلِ هَذَا الْأَمْرِ كَثِيرَةٌ جِدًّا أَيُّهَا الْإِخْوَةِ فَنَسْأَلَ اللَّهَ أَنْ يُعْطِينَا فَوْقَ مَا نُؤَمِّلْ وَأَنْ لَا يَكِلَنَا إِلَى مَا نَعْمَلْ وَمَا أَكْثَرَ مَنْ يُحْرَمُ مِنْ مِثْلِ هَذَا الْخَيْرِ فَنَحْمَدُ اللَّهَ أَنْ وَفَقَنَا إِلَيْهِ وَنَسْأَلُ اللَّهَ أَنْ يَهْدِيَ إِخْوَانَنَا جَمِيعًا إِلَى اكْتِسَابِ هَذِهِ الْفَضَائِلِ. So what a great virtue this is, and the merits of such consistent acts are many. Sitting in the masajid, coming to the house of Allah Azza wa Jal to establish the prayer, to seek knowledge and to learn, and to teach and to spread goodness. He says, and the merits of such consistent acts are many, dear brothers. So we ask Allah to grant us more than what we hope for, to not leave us to our deeds. To not leave us to our deeds. How many are deprived of such blessings? We praise and thank Allah for granting us the opportunity. And we ask Him to guide our brothers as well to attain these virtues. Many people, many from the believers, they're not given success to sit in the houses of Allah to seek knowledge. Rather, they're from those who are preoccupied by the dunya. So alhamdulillah alladhi hadana li hada wa ma kunna linahtadiya lawla an hadana Allah. The Shaykh, he says, wa man amru alladhi najtami'u alayhi fal amru kama sami'na min ash-shaykh Salih wafaqahu Allah asbabu sa'adati al-usra. He said, as for the reason we are gathered here, it is as we heard from Shaykh Salih, and even the one who gave the introduction for the Shaykh when he's giving the lecture. May Allah grant him success on this topic. He says, أَسْبَابُ سَعَادَةِ الْأُسْرَةِ. And the topic is like the means of family happiness. وَهُوَ مِنَ الْأَهَمِّيَّةِ بِمَكَانٍ فَكُلُّنَا ذُو أُسْرَةٍ صَغِيرُنَا وَكَبِيرُنَا كُلُّنَا أَمْرُنَا أَنْ يَرَى السَّعَادَةَ فِي بَيْتِهِ كُلُّنَا مِنْ مُنَاهُ أَنْ يَرَى الْفَرَحَ فِي وُجُوهِ زَوْجَتِهِ وَأَبْنَائِهِ كُلُّنَا نَطْمَحُ إِلَى السَّعَادَةِ وَلَا شَكَّ أَنَّ الْأُسْرَةَ أَسَاسُ الْمُجْتَمَعِ فإذا كانت الأسرة سعيدة مستقرة كان المجتمع مستقرا سعيدا. He says the topic here is the means of family happiness. The means of family happiness. And this is of great importance for all of us, our people of families. Each one of us, we have a family, young and old alike. And each of us hopes to see happiness in his home, in his household, and joy on the faces of his wife and children, and longs for a stable and joyful, pleasant life. There's no doubt that the family is the foundation of society. And when the family is happy and stable, the society becomes stable and happy as well. And if you think about this and reflect, you will find that this is from the reason why the enemies of Islam, the deviant and misguided, they seek to disrupt the family unity and to change the scales and to take the parents out of their homes and have the children raised by the devices or by the TV or by these other means of media and communication, so that there is chaos and destruction, and the devil will have his way with the people. So he says, وَيَجِبُ أَنْ نَعْلَمَ أَنَّ عِنْدَمَا نَتَكَلَمُ عَنْ سَعَادَةِ الْأُسْرَةِ لَا نَعْنِي أَنْ تَكُونَ الْأُسْرَةُ بِلَا مَشَاكِلٍ. This is an important point. So that we must understand that when we speak about family happiness, we do not mean that the family must be completely free of problems. Do not mean that the family must be completely free of problems. There's no family that does not go through problems. There's no human being who is perfect without any shortcomings or faults, or never makes a mistake, or never comes out of character, out of place, or does something wrong on purpose or unintentionally. This is not the case. So there's no perfect human being any with regards to these affairs, and there's no perfect family with regards to these affairs. So this is not what is intended. And this is not required to have happiness in the family. This is not required to have a happy household, that there will never be a mistake, that things will always fall into place, that there will never be any disagreements whatsoever or any controversy going on in the home, never. This is not the case. This is not going to happen in the first place, and it's not a condition to find happiness and to achieve success in this life and the hereafter. Understand that point? This is very good. Because ويجب أن نعلم أن عندما نتكلم عن سعادة الأسر لا نعني أن تكون الأسرة بلا مشاكل. We must understand that when we speak about family happiness, we do not mean that the family must be completely free of problems. فإن من طبيعة اجتماع الناس أن تقع بينهم بعض المناقصات. فإن من طبيعة اجتماع الناس أن تقع بينهم بعض المناقصات وأن تقع بينهم بعض الإشكالات. لكن نقصد أن يكون الأصل في الأسرة السعادة والصفاء وأن تكون الأسرة قادرة على التعامل مع المشاكل بما لا يعكر صفوها ولا يذهب هناءها. He says it is natural, it's normal. When people live together, that some disturbances and occasional issues will arise. So this is normal. This is normal. What we mean is that happiness and harmony should be the norm of the family and in the common way, on a daily basis. The regular atmosphere in the home is that it's peaceful and that there's unity and that there's cooperation and that the deen of Allah is established and the obedience of Allah is upheld and the rights of the deen are known and there's love and mercy and mutual respect in the house. In the house, this is what's normal. This is what's normal. This is family happiness. As for the events that occur from time to time and issues that arise, then whenever they're dealt with properly in a manner pleasing to Allah, according to the limits, upholding the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then those problems will be a means to strengthen the bonds of the family. They will overcome these waves. And the ship will stable out and the bonds will be stronger than they were before bi'ithni Allahi ta'ala. So he says, what we mean is that happiness and harmony should be the norm in the family, and that the family should be capable of managing problems in a way that does not disrupt its atmosphere, in a way that does not disrupt its atmosphere or compromise its peace. And when the people have knowledge, when the mother and father have knowledge, whenever the husband and wife have knowledge, the mother and father have knowledge, likewise the brother and sister and the siblings, they have knowledge and they're on an agreement together that they're seeking the pleasure of Allah and they're working on the path of Allah. Whenever problems arise, they can easily solve them. They can easily solve them. Those to remember Allah and the meeting of Allah, especially whenever problems arise, and they check their tongues with the reins of the legislation, with the fear of Allah Azza wa Jal, then many times these problems, they will go away and they'll be brief and they'll be handled in the most noble and beneficial manner, even if sometimes the situations get hot. Even if sometimes the situations get hot. You know, our mother Aisha radiallahu anha, one time she slapped a bowl out of the hand of a servant because that bowl was coming from another wife. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, your mother became jealous. Your mother became jealous. So he handled it in a good way. He made an excuse for her and he set the right straight and he made her pick up the bowl and the food and to replace that which was destroyed. But the situation, although it was heated for a moment, it was calmed down with knowledge and wisdom and with forbearance, and with looking at the outcome of affairs. Something like that could easily escalate unnecessarily if it's not handled properly. And many of the problems that we have in our house and between each other and the likes, they escalate to a high level that's unnecessary because people are not patient, people are not forbearing, and they let the devil whisper, and they speak and act before thinking or even understanding the situation properly, and they move on emotions. They move on emotions, and thus problems come about, and they wind up regretting and the likes, and saying, I apologize, so on and so forth. And to apologize when one makes a mistake is no doubt a noble conduct and manner. But what is advised is to avoid a situation where you ever have to apologize. Just to avoid the situation where you ever have to apologize. So to be safe from that, it's better to think before you speak or before you act. To analyze the situation, is even proper good? What's the benefit going to come even if I say it right now or do it right now? Sometimes it's not even beneficial. Although it's proper, although it's good, there's a better way to handle it. There's a better way to handle it. So this is what we want to discuss in the likes of these classes. The beneficial means of handling these affairs. The beneficial means of handling these affairs. So he says again, what we mean is that happiness and harmony should be the norm in the family, and that the family should be capable of managing problems in a way that does not disrupt its atmosphere or compromise its peace, or compromise its peace. نقصد أن ترفرف السعادة على الأسرة. نقصد أن ترفف السعادة على الأسرة. فإذا دخل الأب أشرق البيت به سعادة. فإذا دخل الأب أشرق البيت به سعادة. وإذا خرج انتظر أهله رجوعه. نقصد أن يرتاح الزوج بزوجته وأن ترتاح الزوجة بزوجها وأن يرتاح الأبناء بوالديهم وأن يرتاح الوالدان بأبنائهم وأن تكون هناك رأفة في البيوت. He says, what we mean, and what we're talking about, family happiness. What we mean then, happiness should hover over the house, should engulf the household, so that when the father enters, the home lights up with joy. That whenever the father enters the home, lights up with joy. And he meaning that the children in the house, and likewise the wife, they're waiting for the father to come home. They miss him. He's only been gone since the morning. He's only been gone for a few hours, but they love him so much. They love him so much. And Ibn Malik, rahimahullah, he mentioned that it's befitting for a man that he should make effort, that he'll be the most beloved of the people to his family. And the most beloved of the people to his family. You know about the most beloved of the people to a believer is the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But from the people alive, you should be a man. He should be the most beloved to his children. They love him the most because of how kind he is, because of how nice he is, because of how beneficial he is, because of how forbearing he is, because of how generous he is, because of how cultivating he is, and the way that he educates in a good manner, and the way that he cares for them and looks after them and raises them. They love him. They love him. So this is something to work for. So we mean that happiness should hover over the household so that when the father enters, the home lights up with joy. And when he leaves, his family eagerly awaits his return. We mean that the husband finds comfort in his wife. We mean that the husband finds comfort in his wife and that the wife finds comfort in her husband. That the children find rest and security with their parents and the parents find joy in their children. That there is compassion. That there is compassion and kindness in the home. والمعلوم أن الأسرة مكونة من أصل وفرع فأصلها الزوجين وفروعها ثمار الزواج وفروعها ثمار الزواج الأبناء من الذكور والإناث والمعلوم أنه إذا حصلت السعادة للأصل انعكست تلك السعادة على الأبناء. It is known that the family is composed of a foundation and branches. The foundation is the husband and wife. And the branches are the fruits of marriage, the sons and the daughters. It is also known that if happiness exists in the foundation, it will be reflected in the children. It will be reflected in the children. The father and mother, they establish the deen in their life as individuals. The father, he fears Allah and he loves Allah and he works for the hereafter. And the mother fears Allah and she loves Allah and she works for the hereafter. And they have concern for their religion. And the deen has a high place in their heart. And they know the commandments and prohibitions, especially in one day and one night, and that which they are involved in specific. And they cultivate their children upon that. And they do their best effort to keep their home free of anything that's displeasing to Allah from creed or belief or speech or conduct or manners or any external affairs likewise, from the devices or games or toys and the likes like this, or clothing. All of this, they make effort in this manner, then they will find happiness because this is the means to achieve happiness, obeying Allah upon sincere faith, obeying Allah, the Lord of the worlds, and the one who has authority over the hearts, and the one who grants happiness to whom he wills. If you obey him, he will grant you happiness. So if the parents, they do that, then that will be reflected in their children. The children are like sponges. They soak up everything around them. So if they see the mother respecting the father, and the father honoring the mother, they see the father respecting the mother honoring the father, the likes like this, and cooperating together, and smiling and laughing, and also being serious when it's time to be serious. And if there's problems, they handle them without yelling or without name calling or without going beyond the boundaries and losing oneself in anger or and the likes. They will learn from this, and they benefit from that. And any other way will be strange. Any other way will be strange. But whenever it's normal for voices to raise, people start yelling, names to be calling, and the likes like this, this becomes a real problem whenever the children are accustomed to this way. They learn from that way, and they wind up being in that same manner. So he says again, it is known that if happiness exists at the foundation, meaning in the mother and the father, it will be reflected in the children. It will be reflected in and the children. Guidance is in the hands of Allah. This is, and he just a principle. This is in general. This is what will happen. This is what will happen. The children, they will benefit and follow the way of their parents, and follow the way of their parents, and the cultivation of their parents, and the cultivation of their parents. كُلُّ مَوْلُودٍ يُولَدُ عَلَى الْفِطْرَةِ. Every child is born upon الْفِطْرَةِ, yani upon the natural disposition to know that there's nothing worthy of worship except for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he says, وَالْمَعْلُومُ لِكُلِّ أَحَدٍ أَنَّ كُلِّ إِنسَانٍ يَرْغَبُ فِي أَن تَكُونَ السَّعَادَةُ فِي بَيْتِهِ لَكِنَّ طُرُقَ النَّاسِ تَنَوَّعَتْ فِي تَحْقِيقِ هَذِهِ السَّعَادَةِ فَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ ظَنَّ أَنَّ السَّعَادَةَ فِي جَمْعِ الْأَمْوَالِ فَجَعَلَ هَمَّهُ تَكْثِيرُ الْأَمْوَالِ فَأَصْبَحَ يَبْحَثُ عَنْ تَكْثِيرِ الْأَمْوَالِ وَأَهْمَلَ أُسْرَتَهُ يَغِيبُ عَنْهُمْ أَكْثَرَ الْوَقْتِ لَا يَسْأَلُ عَنْهُمْ وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُ لِمَاذَا لَا تُرَاعِي أُسْرَتُكَ لِمَاذَا لَا تُرَاعِي أُسْرَتَكَ قَالَ كَيْفَ لَا أُرَاعِي أُسْرَتِي وَأَنَا أُتْعِبُ نَفْسِي فِي مِنْ أَجْلِي وَأَنَا أُتْعِبُ نَفْسِي مِنْ أَجْلِي أَنْ آتِيَهُمْ بِالْأَمْوَالِ فَلَا يُحَقِّقُ السَّعَادَةَ لَهُمْ وَلَا لِنَفْسِهِ. He says, and it is obvious to everyone that every person desires happiness in their household. Anyone will say, no, he wants misery in his household. And everyone will say he wants happiness in his household. This is something that's known. However, the ways people pursue this happiness, they vary. Some think that happiness lies in accumulating wealth. So they make gathering wealth their primary concern, chasing after the money and neglecting their family, being absent from the family most of the time and not inquiring about them. And when asked, why don't you care for your family? They reply, how can you say that? I work hard to bring the money. But in truth, he never brings happiness to them nor to himself. Nor to himself. Because happiness cannot be purchased. Happiness is an affair of the heart, and the hearts are in the hands of Allah. You cannot purchase happiness, true happiness. He says, Hafidhullah, وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ ظَنَّ أَنَّ سَعَادَةَ الْأُسْرَةِ فِي تَكْثِيرِ الْأَوْلَادِ فَقَطْ فَسَعَى فِي تَكْثِيرِ أَوْلَادِهِ فَسَعَى فِي تَكْثِيرِ أَوْلَادِهِ لَكِنَّهُ جَعَلَ ذَلِكَ مَلْهَاةً لَهُ فَكَانَ حَالُهُ أَلْهَاكُمْ التَّكَاثُرُ حَتَّى زُرْتُمُ الْمَقَابِرَ فَلَمْ تَتَحَقَّقْ لَهُ سَعَادَةٌ. He said, among the people are those who think that family happiness lies solely in having many children. So they strive to increase their offspring. Yet it becomes a distraction for them, and their condition matches the verse, the meaning of which is the mutual rivalry for piling up the worldly things has diverted you till you visit the graves. Thus happiness is not achieved. وَكَثِيرٌ مِنَ النَّاسِ ظَنَّ أَنَّ السَّعَادَةَ فِي جَمْعِ الْمَلَاهِ فِي الْبُيُوتِ فِي جَمْعِ الْمَلَاهِ فِي الْبُيُوتِ فَأَتَى لِأُسْرَتِهِ بِأَنْوَاعِ الْمَلَاهِ يريد أن يسعدهم بظنه فما حقق السعادة. Many people believe that happiness lies in filling their homes with entertainment. Right? Very true, huh? Many people believe that happiness lies in filling their homes with entertainment. So they bring various amusements into the house, thinking they will make their family happy through songs and distractions. But true happiness is not obtained. But true happiness is not attained. Some people, they cannot do anything except if it's a game. Until they sin, in order to learn something about the religion, they have to play a game. And thus they made learning the deen of Allah a game. What do you have to billah? It's not from the way of the salaf that you would play games to learn the names of the sahaba. We play games to learn about the pillars of Islam or the lies like this. You sit and you read a book, or you sit with the people of knowledge, you study, you come to the house of Allah. Everything does not have to be a game. Everything does not have to be a game. Everything does not have to be visualized in a cartoon or on a TV or PowerPoint. And sometimes you just have to sit down and talk to people and your family, and you raise them and you teach them, you read a book with them, you study with them, you memorize, you summarize a topic in your mind or an issue, or you just start discussing the affairs that are important for them to know with them. And you make a one-on-one with them. You make a one-on-one with them, and you have a heart-to-heart with them. And then the time flies by, and it's all beneficial and good. Danny, like they're having fun, alhamdulillah, because they're talking about something interesting, talking, and you let them shed their view or their thoughts and the likes like this. But the point is, everything doesn't have to be a game, and this life is not a joke. And no doubt, sometimes a person, he will laugh, especially with his family, but that's not the main thing. That's not the main thing, and it doesn't have to be in this manner. Many people believe that happiness lies in filling their homes with entertainment. There's a principle in Islam that people of knowledge mentioned, al-mu'amala bi-naqidi al-qasd. Al-mu'amala bi-naqidi al-qasd. It needs to be dealt with contrary to one's intention. If a person doesn't follow the proper way, and he tries to take shortcuts or go around the limits and the likes to achieve his aims, many times he'll be dealt with contrary to his intention, meaning the opposite will happen for him. So these people, they want to find happiness, and they wind up finding sadness and misery. Sadness and misery. What do you have to be? Because it's not from the ways. It's not from the ways. So they bring various amusements in the house, thinking they will make their family happy through songs and distractions, but true happiness is not attained. إِذْ سَعَدَتُ رَحَةُ الْقَلْبِ. This is because happiness is the restfulness of the heart, the ease of the heart. This is happiness. You're not scared. You're not worried. You're not bugged out. You're not stressed. You're not concerned. You're not. Yes, your mind is not just working nonstop. What's going to happen? What's going to happen? What I'm going to do? What if this? What if that? All of these are problems, problematic thoughts and feelings that overcome the mind and affect the heart to where he's not at peace and he's not at ease. So it's sa'ada rahatul qalb. If the sa'ad, these things, this is not the ways, the ways that he mentioned before. If the sa'ada to rahatul qalbi wa tumaninatuhu wa amnuhu wa sururuhu wa zawaluhu mumihi wa gumumihi wa ritiyahul insani. لِمَنْ يُشَارِكُهُ حَيَاتَهُ فِي بَيْتِهِ وَإِنَّ لِلسَّعَادَةِ أَسْبَابًا وَأَبْوَابًا سَنُحَاوِلُ فِي هَذِهِ اللَّيْلَةِ تَحْدِيدَ بَعْضِ أَسْبَابِهَا وَفَتْحَ بَعْضِ أَبْوَابِهَا. He said this is because happiness is the restfulness of the heart. It's the peace and ease of the heart. The peace of the heart and ease of the mind. It's tranquility, safety, joy, and the removal of worries and stress. The removal of worries and distress. And the comfort one feels with those who share their life within their home. Understand that this is happiness. That when you go home, you find peace. You find people that you are peaceful with, not people that you are at war with. You don't go home and find your enemies. Right? You go home and you find those whom you love and they love you. Those whom you respect and they respect you. Some people, they go home and it's like when they get home, they meet their enemy. All of a sudden, as soon as they go home, it's a war. Then it just goes bad because people do not fear Allah Azza wa Jalla. So they're not happy and that's not a happy home. So we want to have happy homes. So he says, happiness is the ease of the heart, tranquility, safety and joy, and the removal of worries and distress. And this is the point here. وارتياح الإنسان لمن يشاركه حياته في بيته. This is happiness. This is from happiness. And the comfort one feels. And the comfort one feels with those who share their life within their home. And they're sharing life together under the same roof, in the same home. They wake up, they see each other, they go to sleep, they see each other. They eat together, they laugh and cry together. You can't get away from them. They live with you. They live with you. If you have problems with these people, it's going to be a problem. It's going to be a problem. So we will not have happiness if we keep making problems with these people. So if we want to have happiness, we have to try to bring peace to the hearts of those whom we live with by being forgiving and forbearing and by teaching and raising in a good way in the life like this and the points that he's going to make. And the points that he's going to make, inshallah, we will read them. So he says, indeed, happiness, it has its means and its doors. And in tonight's discussion, we will attempt to identify some of its means and open some of its doors. He says, وَمَا أَحْوَجَنَا إِلَى هَذَا الْأَمْرُ وَمَا أَحْوَجَنَا إِلَى أَن نَتَحَدَّثَ عَنْ سَعَادَةِ الْأُسَرِ فِي هَذَا الزَّمَانِ الَّذِي كَثَرَتْ فِيهِ الْمُنْهِيَاتِ وَأَصْبَحَ أَفْرَادُ الْأُسْرَةِ يَتَّجِهُونَ إِلَى أَن يَنْغَلِقَ كُلُّ وَاحِدٍ مِنْهُمْ فِي عَالَمِهِ الْخَاصِ غَزَا الْإِنْتَرْنَتُ بُيُوتَنَا غَزَا الْإِنْتَرْنَتُ بُيُوتَنَا وَأَصْبَحَ بَعْضُ الْأَزْوَاجِ مُنْغَلِقِينَ فِي بُيُوتِهِمْ عَلَى هَذَا الْجِهَازِ وَأَصْبَحَ الْأَبْنَاءُ يَبْتَعِدُونَ بِهِ عَنْ وَلِدَيْهِمْ. How much we need this topic. How much are we in need of this topic? How much we need to speak about family happiness in this age in which distractions have become so abundant. Family members now tend to close off into their own private worlds. The internet has entered our homes. Some spouses isolate themselves inside their homes with these devices. Children use them to withdraw from their parents. وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ أَصْبَحَ مُغَلِقًا عَلَى نَفْسِهِ بِقَنَاتِهِ فهذا على قناته وهذا لا يحبها فيشترون له جهازا آخر يجلس عليه وهكذا وهكذا فتباعدت الأسرة داخل بيتها فضلا عن تباعد المجتمع في إطار العام وأصبح كثير منهم يشعرون بالغربة في بيوتهم في بيوتهم وحصل الجفاف في علاقة الزوجين ببعضهما وعلاقة الوالدين بالأبناء وعلاقة الأبناء بوالديهم وعلاقة الإخوة فيما بينهم. Some people have isolated themselves with TV channels. One person watches something while another dislikes it. So they buy him a separate device to sit on it, and so on. Thus, the family has become disconnected inside its own home, let alone the broader disconnection in society. Many now feel alienated even in their own houses. There is emotional dryness between husband and wife, people between parents and children, and between siblings. فَمَا أَحْوَجَنَا مَعَاشِرَ الْفُضَلَاءِ إِلَى أَن نَتَحَدَّثَ عَنْ أَسْبَابِ سَعَادَةِ الْأُسْرَةِ So how desperately are we, my honorable brothers, in need to talk about the means of family happiness. And the means of family happiness. He says, إِنَّ مِنْ أَسْبَابِ سَعَادَةِ الْأُسْرَةِ إن من أسباب سعادة الأسر سببا كبيرا. And indeed, from the means of family happiness is a major affair, a major means. هو أصل السعادة كلها ولبها وروحها وهو سر الحياة وهو سر الراحة وسر الطمأنينة من حصله حصل الخير الكثير ألا وهو عباد الله أن يحرص كل واحد من الأسرة على تحقيق الإيمان والعمل الصالح. Says that one of the most significant causes of family happiness, indeed, the foundation, essence, and spirit of all happiness, indeed, the foundation, essence, and spirit of all happiness is something fundamental. It is the secret of life, the secret of tranquility, the secret of inner peace. Whoever obtains it, obtains immense goodness. What is it, O slaves of Allah? It is that every member of the family strives to establish al-Iman and work righteous deeds. And work righteous deeds. This is the key of keys and the solution to all problems. The correct religion, the sound creed, and the proper application of the upright deen. This is the means to find happiness and peace. And this is where we begin in the morning, inshaAllah. هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.